they're going to stop being your client. They just don't want to do the referral thing. And we can't fear the objection, because if you fear the objection, then that'll keep you from asking. And so having a little bit of confidence in knowing that, in fact, what I recommend is that when you ask for referrals, be prepared for the objection. Know that it's going to come, right? Maybe 50% of the time, give or take, the objection is going to come. And sometimes we can adjust their thinking and get referrals on the spot. Sometimes we have to back off. But when you're not surprised by it, when you know it can happen, and you're not evaluating the whole relationship based on whether someone wants to converse with you around referrals or not, you know, just take the pressure off yourself. You're not going to hurt the relationship. You're not going to lose the client. The worst case scenarios are going to say, no, I don't want to do this. And then maybe you back off. And some of those people will give you referrals later when they're good and ready. So the formula is this. When we hear the resistance, the uncertainty, like, you know, I don't do this, I don't give referrals, I'm not comfortable with that, give me some cards, I'll pass it out, all my friends are taken care of, all the different types of objections that you get, your first response needs to be to acknowledge it and then to explore it, to understand it. And this is true, by the way, with any objection you ever get. I've got a teenage daughter. This even works sometimes with my teenage daughter. Now, with teenagers, there's nothing that good, solid reasoning won't aggravate further. But, you know, when my daughter's upset, I say, Jenna, look, that's fine. I just tell me more. Help me understand. And then I get the teenager sigh, well, Dan, you're not going to understand, but okay. And so what happens is she feels heard, number one. And then we're transitioning her brain from kind of the emotional part of this to a little more logical part. And that's what we're trying to do here with this referral conversation. So let's say someone says, I don't feel comfortable with that. You say, that's fine. Look, I know some people don't. Have you had a bad experience? Can you tell me more? So we're probing. We want to find out, you know, why. Help me understand. There's always an objection behind the objection or a reason for the objection. And you got to be kind of soft with this. You got to be careful with this. You can't make it look like you're just trying to argue with them and convince them into something, failing something else, because then they'll dig their heels in, right? You can't yes but them. You can't say, well, yeah, Rob, but if it wasn't for your friend George introducing us, we wouldn't have had a chance to do this work, right? Yeah, that's logical. That makes sense. That's true, but not yet. This is an emotional part of the conversation here. So someone says, I don't feel comfortable. You say, that's fine. I know some people don't. Bad experience. Can you tell me more? Yeah, I did have a bad experience. And, you know, I really don't want to tell you the details, Bill. I just don't want to get into it. But I just don't like to do this because of that. And so if someone's, you know, very clear that they don't want to do this, now you got to back off. If you get that second piece of resistance, it's time to back off. On the other hand, if they say, yeah, I had a bad experience, well, can you tell me more? Yeah, vacuum cleaner salesperson came to the house and, you know, so I don't know, somehow he got all the names of my neighbors and phone numbers, and I don't know what I was thinking, and he went out and bugged these people, and they won't invite me to the neighborhood picnic anymore. So it was a bad scene. And I'd say, well, you know, I'm sorry that happened. It sounds like that you and he didn't talk about how he would handle these introductions, and it sounds like you didn't talk to your neighbors first and let them know, and I didn't do any of that. Well, that's probably where it went south. Tell you what, Rob, hypothetically, if we could identify a couple of people that you think should know about the work I do, and we could craft an introduction and approach that feels comfortable, that you can contact them first, and you know I'm not going to be a high-pressure situation, you know, maybe we can identify a couple folks. How do you feel about that? So, all right, well, if I could talk to them first, maybe. So that's kind of the reframe. Now, one other important point, then we'll get into a real role play. When you come prepared and you let the client know you come prepared, like I did with you, you know, I got a couple of people I just want to run by you, that will actually reduce the objections, because what happened on your part is you got curious, didn't you? You got curious about who I was thinking about. And that takes the I don't know anyone objection off the table, and it creates a little curiosity. Now, if you still don't want to do this, it'll be pretty clear. Sometimes just from body language, you can tell someone doesn't want to do this. And once you get the sense someone doesn't want to have this conversation, whether they give you the same objection, give you a new objection, or just from their body language and tone of voice, you can tell maybe they don't want to do this, you got to stop and you got to say, you know, Rob, I have a feeling I just made you feel uncomfortable with this request, and that's the last thing I want to do. Is that the case? And then they'll tell you. And then in which case, most of the times, you have to back off. And I'll tell you, Rob, this is the hardest thing to teach. The objection thing is hard to teach because there's so many variations, so many permutations and combinations that can come into play. But getting a sense of how to deal with it and at least knowing how to back off can really boost an FA's and advisor's confidence in this. So let's go ahead and do this. We can kind of play stump the referral coach. Do you have an objection in mind? Don't tell me what it is, but do you have one in mind that you're prepared to give me? All right, so let's assume we had a value discussion. Let's assume the relationship's on solid footing. And then, so I'll say, you know, Rob, great. I'm glad our relationship is where it needs to be. And because of that, I have an important question to ask you. I was hoping we could brainstorm a little bit, put our heads together, see if we can identify some folks that you think should be aware of the important work I do. Got a few ideas I want to run by you. Are you open to the conversation?
You know, I'm a really private person, and my finances are really private. Mm-hmm. And I'd prefer not to discuss our relationship with anybody else.
I understand. And can I ask you a couple questions about that? And first
sure.
of all, the last thing I'm going to do is going to ask you to do something you don't want to do. But I am curious a little bit. I always like to understand these things a little further. I understand that you certainly wouldn't want your financial situation to be revealed to anyone else, and you know the work we do is completely confidential. And when my clients introduce me to others, which happens quite often, you know, that confidentiality stays. Even if someone was introduced to me, even if it's a close family member, you know, we don't cross that line. We're very careful. So is that what you're telling me? Are you concerned about that, or is it something more?
I live in a very small town, and I really don't want people to know that I have the money that I have. I live a low-profile life, and I think it would be resented if people actually knew what I was worth.
Right. And so you're concerned about that, and I guess you extrapolate to the fact that they know you're working with an advisor such as me, that they'll kind of make some assumptions about your wealth, and you just don't want to go there. And I respect that. Here's all I ask. If in your comings and goings with friends, family, colleagues, you ever identify someone you think should know about me, and at that moment in time you feel comfortable, just know I'm never too busy to see if I can be a resource for others. Just don't keep me a secret. Fair enough?
Fair. Very fair.
Good. So let's break that down a little bit. You know, it was pretty clear, even from your first expression of the objection, that I had a feeling we weren't going to get referrals here, right? But I did want to demonstrate what a probing, what a you know, discovery, exploration process might look like. You know, even though the truth is, if you referred me to someone, they wouldn't know what you're worth. Some people, you know, there are people out there that just don't want to have this conversation. They don't want to go there. They think that, you know, if they're working with an advisor, it sends a message to other people that they're worth X dollars and they don't want to go there. They're modest, they're private, whatever reason. It's, you know, it's not necessarily logical. It's just who they are. And once I detect that, look, you don't want to do this, you know, I've got to back off. But I'm going to back off with confidence. I'm not going to just walk away with my tail between my legs. I'm not going to say, okay, well, you know, never mind. Sorry to bother you. No. You know, I'm going to plant the seed. I'm going to say, Rob, that's fine. I just want you to be aware of the fact I'm never too busy to help others you care about. I mean, if it ever makes sense, don't keep me a secret. Fair enough? Fair enough. And then we're done. Now, you're the kind of individual that, you know, maybe that will never turn into referrals. You know, maybe you'll just never go there. But you never know. I've had people tell me they don't give referrals, and a year, 2 years later, they say, you know, hey, Bill, I told you I don't ever do this, but I've got somebody I think you can help. And so you never know. Worst case scenario, someone doesn't want to go there. You back out. You're done. You planted the seed. Still got a great client. Still got a great relationship. You move forward. What I'd like to do now, Rob, if you don't mind, is have one where you know, I do reframe your thinking. So just to give people a sense of what that could sound like. So I'd like you to think of another objection. And then as I probe a little bit, just, you know, be willing to have the probe and maybe have your mind changed a little bit. So, Rob, I'm glad to see the value in what we've done. I'm glad our relationship is on solid footing. And because of that, I have an important question to ask you. And I wanted to ask you that first because I wanted to make sure that we were at that place where it would make sense for me to bring this up. I was hoping we could brainstorm a little bit, explore, see if we can identify a few people that you think should know about the work I do. Would you be open to that conversation?
Yeah. My problem is that I really don't know anybody.
That's fine, and I understand. I've got a few ideas I can run by you if you're open to the conversation.
Yeah, I mean, I'd love to help you, but it just nobody comes to mind offhand. What do you have in mind?
Sure. Well, here's what I'd like to do. I'd like to run a few categories of individuals that we can do some very important work for, things we've learned over the years, and just, going through that, maybe that'll trigger somebody. And, before we get into this, I just want to let you know, if we do identify anybody, my approach to this is very low-key. Number one, obviously, the work you and I do is confidential. They will never learn about your financial situation from me and vice versa. And I like to be very careful with this sort of thing. I don't like to call people from out of the blue and surprise them and make them wonder, why did Rob give their name out? Nobody likes that kind of, call anymore. So if we do identify someone, you and I will talk a little bit about, what that introduction looks like, what that connection looks like, and we'll do it in such a way that you feel comfortable, they feel comfortable, and maybe we stand the chance to do some important work for them. So, for instance, one type of individual or a situation that can be going on in someone's life is an inheritance, where someone in the family has passed recently or even, within a couple years sometimes, because it takes a little while for the estate to settle, et cetera. Gosh, do you know anybody who may be inheriting some money?
No, I don't have anybody in mind.
Okay, well, that's fine. And now we do important work for those folks. Something kind of similar to that is a legal settlement. Anybody going through a legal settlement that, like a divorce or anything like that, maybe will be open to working with an advisor?
Not now, but maybe in the future. My sister's got some serious problems.
Okay. Well, we'll talk about that when the time is right. Not before. And I'm never too busy to see if I can be a resource for really anybody you care about. Let me run just a couple other ideas by you. And if we think of someone, great. If not, it's not a big deal. People changing jobs quite often. We can do some very important work. Maybe they just changed jobs or they're thinking or they're about to. Gosh, anybody in that category come to mind?
Yeah, one of my business partners retired from our former firm, and he's a good friend, he might be the kind of client that you're looking for.
Great. So, important question here. Assuming we can craft an approach that feels comfortable, would you feel comfortable introducing me to him?
Oh, yeah. Okay. I'd be happy to.
Good. So, we'll talk more about him in a second. Let me run one more category by you, and then we'll go back and we'll talk to him. We'll see what we can make happen here. As a small business owner, my guess is every now and then you run into someone who's thinking about selling a business, just sold a business. Selling a business is on their mind in one form or another, and quite often we can come in and help them make some very important decisions. Anybody there come to mind?
The parents of one of my other business partners sold their business, and I think, I don't know who they're doing business with, but okay. They would be a candidate, I would imagine. It's a pretty big business.
Probably. You never know, and they may be very happy with who they're working with. The last thing I want to do is get in between a relationship that's working. They probably wouldn't let me do that anyway, but you never know. They may be getting incomplete advice. They may not be happy with who they're working with, and so it's usually worth a quick conversation anyway, just to check in. These are folks that, assuming we craft an approach, you'd feel comfortable introducing me as well?
Yeah, I'd be happy to.
Good. Well, we'll come up with an approach that works. So there's where, you don't know anybody, but you kind of said yes to the brainstorm. You're okay with it, but you just don't know anybody. So that's where the coming prepared makes all the difference in the world. And that's where getting permission to brainstorm makes all the difference in the world, because we mentioned one category and you didn't know anybody. I said, that's fine. We're just brainstorming here. Let me run another idea by you. let me ask you this, Rob. This was role play, obviously, and all, but you know, you kind of got into your character there a little bit. At any point in time, did you feel pressured?
No, I mean, one of the things that I talk about is the fact that we're all students, you know, from the time we were in kindergarten, when the teacher called on us, we tried to answer. And I think that that's what you get into the role, even if you're role-playing.
Right.
I was trying to come up with ideas, and I was thinking more about who actually I knew than trying to come up with an objection. You know, I was trying to please the teacher, as I think most of our clients want to.
So, you know, again, what's the worst case scenario? You know, you say, look, I don't know anybody, and I bring a few ideas, and you just don't know anybody, and then I back off. I mean, that's the worst case scenario. It's not going to hurt any relationships. So how one gets good at this is by just asking for referrals, not being afraid of the objection. And just if you get an objection, you get a concern, you just explore it. You just try to learn a little bit about it. And there's no question in my mind that most people will back off sometimes sooner than they need to, but that's okay. Right? Worst case scenario, you go in, you ask with confidence, they don't want to do it, you explore a little bit with confidence, and then you back off with confidence, and you've promoted the possibility for down the road. If we live, or if we fear something, then that fear owns us, right? That fear controls us. And so where you start with this, when you start asking for referrals, if you haven't done it in the past, just start asking with people who really love you. You know, look at your client base, and there's some people there that they just love you. Right, you could bumble through this, and they feel sorry for you and give you referrals. Right, you just start with the easiest, most, you know, receptive people there, which are people who love you, and then maybe try this with a few clients who've already given you referrals. Maybe you didn't ask them in the past, but they gave you referrals. They think you're referable. They're willing to play the game, so you run it by them a little bit, and you start with those folks, and you make it easier on yourself.
Bill, what do you do when you have a high minimum? And you've got a situation where you've got in our case, our maximum number of clients that we have is 100, and we don't bring in more clients once we get to that 100. We just upgrade and then reassign.
Mm-hmm.
So we're always trying to bring in that next big, larger account, somebody that's bigger than our top 25 client. So we have our minimum, and then we have our target. So our minimum may be 1 million, our target's 2.5 million. And so when we're going after these referrals, we have to be very specific in terms of our target. And we really have a limited number of clients, spaces on our first class airplane. So it becomes a little bit more tactical in terms of asking for referrals and getting them. Any thoughts on that, or how you might work that into your program?
Sure. First of all, we're always in a qualifying mode, right? We're always, whether we're asking for referrals or someone's volunteering referrals, right, we're always in that qualifying mode. We're never assuming that someone who's referring someone to us or introducing us, that person fits our model. And now I know that in what you teach, you're kind of transparent with this, are you not? You're going with the Supernova program, you're going to the clients and you're explaining this and why you're doing this and how it's in their best interest, correct?
Yes.
Right, so there's some transparency, which is really good and helpful in terms of the referral process, because now they have a sense of the types of individuals that you are currently serving and are trying to attract into your business. So that's really good. And what you can do is you can handle this and try to, you know, make sure the referrals you get are, you know, lateral or up on the economic scale. So one way to do it is before you have a referral conversation, maybe in the previous meeting, you do what I call promoting referrals, planting seeds. And one of the ways you can do that is to educate your clients and remind them, you know, who you serve the best. So it goes something like this. You know, Rob, as you know, every now and then my clients like to introduce me to someone else that they care about, and you know, of course I always love an opportunity to serve someone else, and gosh, if that opportunity ever presents itself to you, I think it would be good for you to have a sense of just a reminder of who our practice is geared towards these days, because it's important that it's a good match so that we don't waste their time, etc. As a reminder, we our process are geared for people who have $1 million or more of investable assets. People like yourself who've done very well and have saved well, We certainly have clients that have 5 million, 7, 10 million. So there's kind of a range there. If the financial wherewithal is not there, then our processes really aren't geared towards them. Sometimes we can refer them to someone else. We have a lot of colleagues in this business, and we can certainly get them the help they need. And look, I'm not expecting you to know someone's specific financial situation. Sometimes you know, sometimes you don't. But it's important to just keep that in mind so that we are in front of the people that we believe that we can serve well. You know, does it make sense? How's that sound? Yeah. Now, there may be other aspects to this ideal client profile I may want to run. It could be investable assets, it could be net worth, could be income, could be other demographics such as age and geography and industry that they might work in if you're targeting a niche. So there's all sorts of things that may come to play in this conversation. But notice I didn't say my minimum is a million, or my minimum is 750,000, or my minimum is 500,000. I said people who we do our best work for, people who our practice is geared towards, people who our processes are geared towards. This is a subtle but I believe important distinction between being advisor-centered and being client-centered. If we say, you know, my minimum is $1 million, we're looking for people who have a million or more. That's all about me. If we're saying our processes are geared towards people who have $1 million or more investable assets, this is the people who we can do our best work for. Look, do they know we make money from this? Of course they do. But we just don't have to hit them over the head with it.
Right.
You know, we just come from that place of service to others. So it really is an education. And you can do that same conversation in the midst of the VIPS. I can say value, you know, we can have a value discussion. I can say I've got an important question to ask you. I was hoping we could brainstorm a little bit. And you know, Rob, as we're brainstorming, something to keep in mind that, you know, that our practice is not geared towards just anybody anymore, as you know that. And I just thought I'd remind you a little bit about, you know, who our processes are geared towards. So as we brainstorm, we stand a better chance of coming up with some folks who, you know, probably are a good match for what we do. So, we could do it there. We could certainly do it in that situation. And then I really do like to say, I know you don't know someone's specific financial situation, or it's unlikely. In some cases you might, but don't worry about that. It's just if you have a sense, that's all we need. And then, you know, I'll go from there. So it's an educational process. We have to educate people.
That's great. All right. Well, next up, I'd like to discuss what it takes to turn a referral into what you call an engaged introduction. But first, can you tell the listeners a little bit about the many ways you work with financial advisors and their firms and how folks can reach you with their questions or interest in your service?
Well, I appreciate that, Rob. Thank you. A lot of different ways we help individual advisors as well as their firms. Certainly, I give speeches and seminars and boot camps, live training, live opportunities. We also have video-based opportunities for both firms as well as individuals. We have our Referral Advantage program, which is geared towards offices, agencies, larger teams, group training, group setting. We also have our Referral Champions self-study program that's geared towards an individual or maybe I like to call a study with a buddy, you know, where you find a referral buddy and you go through this together. Or a small team of 3, 4, 5 advisors. And so that's the Referral Champions program. We do have a coaching program. A lot of people like to come to our boot camp first and then take on the coaching, or they'll do the Champions and then take on the coaching. Or sometimes they just want to do the coaching. And the coaching, as you know, is really all about teaching the system and then keeping the awareness going and a little bit of a coaching and accountability to make sure people are doing what they know they need to be doing. And then, of course, we have other simple things. We have a newsletter, a free newsletter called the Referral Minute. And if you just go to referralminute.com, then you can sign up for that, and you can keep these kinds of ideas coming and tips coming on a regular basis. And we don't trade the list or sell the list, so you're not going to start getting a lot of spam. It's just my relationship with you. So if you go to referralcoach.com, and you'll find a tab there that's geared towards individual advisors. You'll find a tab there that's geared towards managers and leaders. And through that, you can certainly get a feel for what we do. And then, of course, I am never too busy to talk directly with anybody who's interested in what we can do. And my email address is Bill Cates, not Bill Gates, right? Bill Cates, C-A-T-E-S, Bill Cates at referralcoach.com. And I'm happy to answer your questions and walk you through our process. And Rob, let me turn the table on you a little bit, because I know that this audio program is going to be going to some people who don't know you, who haven't been through your Supernova Advisor program. So if you could share that as well.
Bill, thanks. Supernova Consulting Group, LLC.com is our website. And what we believe is that everybody needs a coach, whether you're a professional golfer or you're a professional financial advisor, that everybody needs a coach. And I really love the idea that you are a coach and are available for coaching, because I think that the investments that people make in hiring a coach to keep them on track and to teach them new techniques is the most valuable thing they can do to keep themselves sharp and current. What we do is we put on typically a workshop that is either a half or a full day long, and then we have a program for training consultants on the idea of Supernova, which is a model that improves the client experience by improving the financial advisor's experience. So we try to successfully transform a practice from chaos to process, and we do it in 12 weeks. And in that process, one of our byproducts is that we have an increase in productivity, which is really, in the long run, what we're all after is to have a better life and then to earn more money. And so that has been very, very successful and has been very rewarding for myself and my coaches. My book, The Supernova Advisor, is available on our website at supernovaconsultingllc.com and on Amazon, and has been very successful in helping financial advisors understand the process. We are available for private coaching also, and I'm available at rdnapp at supernovaconsulting.com, llc.com, and that's my email address. That's our program, and we're very excited to be doing this joint work with you, because we work so well together. But I want to get back to this. How do you turn these referrals now into engaged introductions, the final process here?
Well, it's actually a pretty simple process. And what I mean by engaged introduction is that we need to get the referral source, and in this case mostly a client, committed to getting this connection, making this connection happen. We've all experienced a client says, I'll tell my friend about you. And you say, great, let me know what she says, let me know what he says. And then it doesn't go anywhere. So we got to get a connection here. And